When we work in the world, we always want something in return, or our actions are for that so-and-so result must come. Otherwise, we are unhappy. That's what we had talked about last time, and it applies to community service where people say, I worked so much and what did I get? Answer should be, what did they get by my activities? Wherever, whatever job I am doing, that I'm an engineer, doctor, lawyer, housekeeper, housewife, or a student, or wherever I'm working, teacher, my action should be as a service. And also bringing up kids, we have the same attitude that our children should do a particular thing. You know, we want them to be a doctor or a lawyer. And children vary. In the first year, if you ask him, what does he want to be? He wants to be a pilot. When he's 4 or 5 years old, he admires his teacher. I want to be a teacher. And we say, you know, I taught, I spent so much on him. I did so much for him. And no, the idea is not what did I get. If I bring up children with the idea that in return, they will take care of me or do something for me, then it becomes a business. When I do any service, whether it's for my children, whether it's for society, if I'm expecting something back, then it becomes a service. So my idea is I should give and not expect anything in return. Also, whom they marry. You know, we have these specific expectations that this is what my child should be, especially Indian parents. Whoever they bring, once we have given them right values, given them right education, taught them the right things, then we should trust their judgment that they will make a right decision in life regarding their career, regarding their partner, regarding their... And so to expect something is karma. To do without expectation is karma yoga. And today the Lord is going to continue this same topic, the difference between karma and what he calls as buddhi yoga, which is similar to karma yoga. Chapter 2, verse number 49. Dure nahyavaram karma.
Dure nahyavaram karma.
Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Buddhau sharanam anvichha.
Buddhau sharanam anvichha.
Kripana phala hetavah.
Kripana phala hetavah.
So durena, by a great distance, avaram, he means indeed, avaram means inferior. Varam means superior, avaram means inferior. So compared to karma, buddhi yoga is way superior. Buddhi yoga or the karma yoga is way superior than karma. Routine actions are very inferior to doing action dedicated to the higher. So that is called, here Bhagavan calls it buddhi yoga or dhananjaya or Arjuna. Actions performed with a selfish motive are far inferior to actions performed with a higher motive. O Arjuna, buddhau sharanam anvichha. In buddhi, this is the seventh case, buddhau sharanam anvichha. In buddhi, in intellect, sharanam anvichha, seek refuge. Sharana, we all know, is in all the Indian languages. So seek refuge in buddhi. Why? Kripana phalahetavaha, phalahetavaha, those who are desires of fruit, phalahetavaha, they are kripana, they are wretched, they are miserly, they are unfortunate people. So let us spend a little time talking about this. So what is karma? As we mentioned, routine activities are karma. Buddhi yoga is where the intellect gains predominance over the mind. Just to review this chart for some new people, I have in my equipment three parts, my body, my mind, and my intellect. So with the body, I perceive the objects. I see, hear, smell, taste, touch. With the mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts or concepts. And how do I think? It's based on my vasanas, on my tendencies which I have from this birth and from multiple previous births. And Om represents God's presence, the consciousness within. So most of us work at the mind level. I feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing it. I felt like doing it. I just did it. Children often will do that, but even adults let their mind take over. But idea is that the intellect, and what kind of intellect? They say the subtle intellect, which is guided by the scriptures. So intellect, which is guided by the scriptures, has the scriptural knowledge in it. So that kind of intellect I should use. And the intellect is called the Nishchayatmika Buddhi, the one that decides. And the mind is called the Samshayatmika Buddhi, that which is unsure. So if I'm not sure about something, then what do? I consult my intellect, my thinking capacity. That's why they say think before you act. So the idea is that the intellect should be predominant, not the mind, because the mind has a tendency to run towards feelings, towards, not that we should not have emotions or not love people, but let not your emotions get in the way of the right action, like a judge. Now, if he's judging a case and if he happens to know the defendant and he does something in favor of that, or a person in a government office taking a decision and gives a contract to his relative, then that is dishonest. So the intellect should dominate over the mind, where I do the right thing irrespective of how I feel about it. And in our life, we plan our worldly activities so precisely. What I want to do with my career, even what I want for breakfast, where am I going to go on my vacation. You know, 6 months ahead, we make reservations, airline and cruise and this and that. But in, for our life, we work without direction. I don't know where, what am I going to do? Yeah, work we know. Okay, I'm going to have this career. I'm going to go to work. But what is my real goal or purpose in life? We do not plan. And that's what the scriptures tell us, that not only plan your worldly activities, but what is my ultimate goal to reach that state of enlightenment, which is the goal of every human being. But A, we don't know it. Or even if we know it, we don't work towards it. We think later on, maybe after retirement or after, it's time for me to. But the thing is that, first of all, we don't know how long we'll live, whether you will even live till 65, 70. Even if you do, but it may be too late. You know, some people physically or mentally are not active. Even if you are that age, it does not matter. Whenever you start this journey, they say every journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. So wherever I am, whether I'm 50 years old, 60 years old, 70, even 80, this has to become my goal in life. Start this journey. And then, as Krishna says in the 6th chapter, Bhagwan says, when Arjuna asked, he says, how about if I do not live and I have not reached this goal of God realization? Bhagavan says, don't worry. I'll make sure that once you have started on this path, then your next life you will be born in the house of yogis or very wise people where you can continue your spiritual journey. So no matter what profession I am doing, the back of my mind, I should know that I am a spiritual being. God is with me, and the goal of life is God realization or self-realization. And we find the example of great masters like Shankaracharya ji. He was a great Vedantin, had the highest knowledge, was realized even when he was hardly 9 or 10 years old. He was a realized master. And the remainder of his life, he traveled constantly through the four corners of India, never rested for a single day. Within his short span of 32 years, he established 4 mathas in 4 corners of India, removed all the wrong ideas, the wrong principles that people were following, even the wrong Buddhist ideas, and re-established the ancient Vedantic philosophy in a short life of 32 years. Ved Vyasji is another example. He, again, was, they say, in Shankaracharya ji was an incarnation of Lord Shiva. Ved Vyasji was an incarnation, they say, of Lord Vishnu. And the same thing, very established in the knowledge, but his whole life he spent one service. He rewrote the four Vedas. He organized them into, you know, Rig, Sam, Yajur, and Atharva Ved. He wrote the Bhagavad Puran. He wrote the entire Mahabharata. He wrote the Brahma Sutras. I mean, the amount of contribution that one individual made to the entire work. So these people, their work was not only in their lifetime, but for thousands of years after they have passed. We still remember Ved Vyasji. Shankaracharya ji was, you know, lived several hundred years ago. But the work that these masters have done is because they did not think about themselves only for me and my, but my idea is to serve the world. But what we do is, the reason we don't work because we have anxiety. Will I succeed or not? You know, there are so many problems. People don't cooperate. But they say, as long as you have the right means, the right goal in mind, go ahead and start the work. People will join you. Even if not, at least I have done my part in contributing to this world. And people who work only for themselves are called misers. They're also called wretched. They're also called bechara. Bechara means they're looking for permanent happiness in temporary things. In this temporary thing, I should get permanent happiness, whether it's my spouse or my house or my money or my car or my job. These are all temporary things and will give us temporary happiness. No doubt they will. But if you ask somebody, you want temporary happiness or permanent happiness? If I say, look, this thing will give you happiness for 1 year, but then you'll be miserable for rest of your life. You say, no, I don't want this. Give me something that will give me permanent happiness. So if you want permanent happiness, find it in permanent things. Talking about miser, I have a very beautiful story. It's a little long. I hope we can finish it. We have a shorter class. It's a beautiful story. So there was this miser who never gave anybody anything. And he went to Gangaji, and at Gangaji, it is said that at every ghat, at every place, there is some pandit sitting, and you have to give him Guru Dakshina before you take a bath. That's tradition. So he said, I do not want to give anything. So he went at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he went to the furthest ghat way up where nobody ever used to sit. He said, I'll go take a bath over there so I don't have to give Dakshina to the Panditji. Now Bhagwan, the Lord, wanted to cure him of this. So he sat there in the form of a Brahmin. At 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord himself came and sat. And this person, he said, yahan bhi ye aa gaya Brahmin. And he's so sad. So Lord says, you know, to take a bath here, you have to give me 50 paise, 50 cents. You're not asking for too much. He said, 50 cents, 50 paise, that's too much. So he says, you know what, I don't have any in my pocket. You come to my house and take it. And he said, this guy won't know where I live. He never told him his address. Took a bath and went home. Now, of course, Bhagwan knows. So 2-3 days later, Lord showed up at his house. So this guy is looking through the window. He said, oh, Brahmin, that guy is coming to take his 50 paise. So he ran and he said, he can't say I'm sleeping because then he will just wait. So he told his wife, tell them I'm dead. So he went and lay down in the bed, unmoving. And his wife started crying. You know, she had to listen. So when this pandit came, he said, I came for my 50 cents, 50 paise. He said, he died. And she's crying. She said, he died? Oh, then let's arrange a funeral. So Lord calls all the neighbors, a Brahmin, and they said, so they carry him to the funeral house singing Ram Naam Satya Hai. Now this guy is not moving. He's staying firm. And they put him on the funeral pyre. He's still not moving. And then Lord, of course, felt compassion for him. So he, through his maya, he made it appear as if the funeral occurred. The fire was lit and he was burnt. And so he told everybody, chalo, funeral is gone. You all leave. I'm a Brahmin. I'll do the last puja. So they all left. And this guy is still sleeping on the funeral. He hasn't moved. So Lord says, wake up. You know, I'm the Lord. I know you are not dead. You can wake up. So he wakes up and he sees the Lord himself standing there. So Lord says, you know what? I'm so impressed with your, you know, abilities and all your dedication. You ask for anything you want, one boon. I will, you know, Lord is saying, anything you want, I'll give you one boon. He said, can you forgive those 50 cents? So, So that is a miser. That's why they are called wretched, because their whole purpose is this, you know, accumulating money. He's not ready to give anything to anybody, and that's why Bhagwan calls them wretched. Kripana, they are miserly. They are worth of just feeling pity. Kripana means you feel pity for these people because they are so. And why is it wrong to work for a particular goal or a particular result? They say, do your duty and leave the result to the God, to Lord. If I have done my work well, if I have worked hard, if I have done the right thing with the right means, sorry, then the without anxiety for the results will come, because we live in a world of karma bhumi, and whatever actions I perform, the results are guaranteed. But while I am working, if you are working for the results or you are doing it selfishly, that what will I get, then what is the problem? So there's a very beautiful chart which Gurudev has written in different places. He says our vasanas, our impressions from previous birth, create desires. So if I have good vasanas, if I have, say, a person has alcoholic vasanas, then what does he do? He goes to the bar and drinks. If a person has sports vasanas, then he either plays sports or he will get together and watch football. But if a person has spiritual vasanas, then he will perform spiritual activities. Or if a person has vasanas related to service, then he will do service. So my vasanas, my tendencies determine what are my desires. And the desires determine my actions. Now, actions produce result, and the result produces more impressions. Like, for example, I start have one drink, and then the desire comes, aha, this is good. So I have a second drink, third drink. Soon what happens? My vasana for drinking gets strengthened. Another one, you know, and the same could be for anything. It could be for money, it could be for power. The excessive desire due to vasanas create actions, and then as a result of actions, I get the result. And when I get the result, then it creates more impressions. So they say, remove the result. Then what happens? The cycle will be broken. So when I do an action, not for myself, but for all, then I am not looking for my result. So the moment you remove the result, the cycle is broken. Otherwise, it's impression, desire, action, result, impression. So more and more my vasanas are strengthened. And the more vasanas, the more desires I have, the further I go away from God. Because God is within every one of us, but it is the vasanas, my selfish desires, that separate me from Lord. That's why when we are in the presence of saints, we feel we are in the presence of God, because they have minimal desires. Saints, if you look at their life, they never took care of themselves. They had the minimum of possessions. Whether you look at Tukaram, look at Narsi Mehta, look at Jesus, look at Buddha, look at any of these great saints, Guru Nanak, they never possessed anything for themselves. Whatever they had, they gave, and their whole life was spent in service. So when you remove the result, then slowly your vasanas, your impressions will get less. And the more vasanas you have, the more you are wretched. The less vasanas you have, the more you become spiritual. And then you ultimately go beyond actions. That's why Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita follows a pattern where the first chapter is Arjuna's sorrow. Second chapter, he gives the entire introduction, which we are doing, to the Bhagavad Gita. Few verses related to each topic. The third verse is Karma Yoga. The fourth verse is Yagna spirit, where I sink my individual differences and work with all. And ultimately, the fifth chapter is Karma Sannyas, where even the doership is gone. And that person is ready for meditation. And then the Bhagavad Gita continues from there on. So there is a very stepwise progression in this entire Bhagavad Gita. So today we are doing just Karma Yoga, and then we will go to other topics in the second chapter in the next few weeks. Do we have any questions or any comments about this particular verse?
I have a little bit of a question. Like, so when you have a vasana or spirituality,
yes,
so that's something you need to overcome.
Actually, yes, it is. That is when you have a vasana for spirituality, means you are sattvic. You are a sattvic, you are a pure individual. Ultimately, even the desire for spirituality has to be transcended. Because anytime you have a desire or a vasana, it is out of incompleteness. So it is better to have a spiritual desire than a desire to drink or a desire to hurt people. But ultimately, the saints did not work with a vasana for spirituality. They worked with the Lord, as the Lord is working through me. So even the idea of service goes away. So that is the highest, yes. That's a very good question. Thank you. So ultimately, even the desire to serve, because the moment you have a desire, that means it comes out of incompleteness. But they are complete, so from them, the service comes spontaneously. Even the desire to serve is no longer there, because the ego is no longer there. As long as there is a desire, there is an ego, the individuality. But when the Lord is working through me, then I am nobody. So from somebody, I have to become nobody. And that is spirituality. Nobody means that I am nothing, the Lord is everything working through me. But thank you. That's good. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it's hard to think.
Yes. Yes, you need to think. But the idea that I am helping should go away. I am helping, I am working, that I has to go away. Then only He works through us. As long as I am there, He is not there. So yes, one has to evolve from tamas to rajas to sattva. Tamas is the ignorance, to rajas, passion, to sattva, purity, and then even go beyond sattva, which we will be doing in the later chapters. Chapter 14, 17, 18 are all devoted to that. Those of you who have the Gita can read those chapters. 14, 17, and 18 are dedicated to the gunas. I think same thing. Once you realize, A, that it is, first of all, I have to know that I have a problem and that it is bad for me. And secondly, I have to be sure I want it. And then third, you have to take help. It's hard to do. Fourth is, spirituality is very important. Even Bhagwan says in another place, he says that you may stop drinking, but the inner desire still remains. Rasa varjam rasopya asya param drishtva nivartate. Only when you take the spiritual path and contact the Lord, then the desire from within will be removed. The person may stop drinking, but inside the taste for alcohol will still be there. So yes, but it is a stepwise. Recognize the problem, be sincere about treating, get help, and then seek the Lord's grace, all those four. That's why all of these Alcoholics Anonymous and all, they do have an element of spirituality in them. Okay, we'll end with the closing prayers. Thank you for coming. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makaschid Dukkha Bhagavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.